If you've been here all morning, I think you can leave now. a lot of the stuff, so the background stuff that I prepared is sort of been covered, which is good because it's going to make for a nice short presentation. Set the scene, we have what we call a safe operating space for humanity, which is around here. And right now, we know that we are exceeding this safe operating space for at least when it comes to climate change, biodiversity loss, and also nitrogen loading. And we are approaching others, such as the phosphorus loading, ozone depletion, and ocean acidification are on the horizon, and there are other issues that are coming up as well. So all of these are related to each other, and they have to be seen in a integrated way and not in isolation. So what we've been trying to do in my lab and with collaborators, a few of them are in this room, is to try to understand the contribution of livestock and crops and soil systems to greenhouse gas emissions, and also looking at the mitigation of those greenhouse gas emissions. And instead of looking at them separately, we try to look at them in a systems way. So we put in system thinking into trying to understand those systems. So if you look at the farm as an animal, soil, plant continuum, we have crop production from things like corn and soybeans and things like that that the animals consume. And then we'll have meat and milk and eggs and different animal products that we take off the farm. And we do have the nutrients are usually about 25% of the nutrients will be utilized by the animals, but about 75% and sometimes more will be excreted. And we treat the manure in different ways and then use the manure hopefully on the field. And the nutrients will be transferred, will be taken up by the crop, and then it goes back into the animal system. So, if we have this system in mind, then we need to try to analyze whatever kind of mitigation aspects that we need to implement. We need to look at the whole system. For this one, again, it's already been shown that the main greenhouse gas that we worked with what we need to worry about is enteric and methane emissions from, particularly from cattle, so dairy cattle and beef cattle. A lot of the life cycle analysis has shown that over 60% comes from the enteric fermentation. We've also seen the methane emissions from manure and N2O from application of manure in soil and crop production. I'll talk a little bit about the methane emissions. So we measure, typically animal science would measure methane emissions in different ways. This is an example of a device that we're using currently for the cow. It enticed to come in into the green feed machine. You give it a bit of a cookie for the cow so that they can come in, and then when they breathe, the breath will be analyzed here, and then you get an estimate of methane emissions from that particular cow. So the most of the studies will be focused on just looking at what has been fed into the animal and how much enteric fermentation is coming in. And about 95-97% of the methane emissions is eructated. So this machine will account for that. About 3% will come the other way, and then we have other studies that are focused more on the soil aspects, looking at the nitrogen cycle and the methane emissions from manure applied to soil. So what we would like to do is to look at the net reduction. So when we look at both from the animal systems and the manure and the soil systems, what is the net reduction of these greenhouse gases? Because we will have trade-offs. This has already been mentioned earlier this morning. When you do some mitigation options, that are aimed at a particular actions. For example, Ellis et al. Did an analysis using mathematical models when you implement in trying to reduce the urinary nitrogen excretion, which has been shown to be a precursor for higher ammonia emissions and higher N2O emissions, you may have a higher methane emissions depending on the type of carbohydrate that's been supplemented to the animal. So you might be reducing something, but then you increase something else. But as long as the net reduction of greenhouse gases, that may be okay. One of the things that's been used to try to reduce nitrogen emissions is to reduce the amount of protein that the animals have been consumed, that animals are consuming, and it depends what that protein is being replaced by. So if it is replaced by a starch, more digestible, the type of carbohydrate, then you have a decline in methane emissions. But if it was replaced by more fibrous type of carbohydrates, then you have an increase in methane emissions. Going on from that, they have actually quantified what is the trade-off when you're reducing urinary nitrogen. So the same study showed that you can actually have about 0.3 grams of methane increase per gram of urinary nitrogen that you're able to decrease to try to improve the milk nitrogen efficiency. So this is basically, if you look into this as a continuum. So we're working in the animal science community, working in this area here, trying to understand what's happening within livestock. We take into account the feed composition, the amount of the feed, and the chemical composition of the feed, and we look at into nutritional processes, what is the requirement of the animal, and how is the nutrients being partitioned into products and into excretion, and try to figure out how much carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus leaves the farm with the milk and meat or with animal product, and how much of it is excreted, and then from that excreta, we can try to estimate how much gaseous emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, and ammonia will be excreted as well. And then a lot of studies sort of stop down here, but we should continue to look at once the manure has been excreted, then it will be stored in different ways. So it could be composted, it could be in the lagoon, or it could be put into an anaerobic digester, and then we have emissions from those different types of storage methodologies, and then it goes into the field, and you have other emissions as well. So try to look at the whole emissions spectrum and not sort of divide it into different sectors. So looking into the integrated approach, for a sustainable operation, we try to consider the reductions in the total carbon, nitrogen, and water footprints. There has been a lot of different mitigation options that have already been discussed earlier. Mark Powell showed the FAO report that we put together last year, and it goes into excruciating detail into the different mitigation actions and also the recommendations whether those kind of mitigation actions work or what are the potential for these mitigation actions to work. So. One of the most used ones are dietary manipulation to try to reduce carbon and nitrogen, methane from manure and lagoons. There's been a lot of discussion on trying to improve the nitrogen use efficiency, particularly in cattle. And again, Mark showed the way to reduce methane emissions from animals. The better way is actually to look at into the reducing herd size and looking into management instead of dietary manipulation. And sick animals are not efficient animals, so looking into improving the animal health and welfare would also improve the productivity and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. There are different methods in reducing ammonia and greenhouse gas from fertilizer and manure application as well. There are other aspects that come into mind the food safety considerations that are an important issue when we look at holistically. There's an ongoing experiment right now that we're working with April and Rob, with the USDA, and we're doing some of the animal work, and this work will continue later on in Idaho as well. So I don't have any results for you, but hopefully next year, if this session continues, then maybe April will present the manure part of that, and Rob will talk about the food safety and the pathogen aspect, and hopefully I'll talk about the animals as well. So we try to look at it in a systems way, looking from the animal into the manure, and considering the pathogen aspect as well. So this is a way of looking at the whole farm models. This is what I will consider a concept for the new generation models. So instead of having models that are running on different platforms that have different outputs, this is a way to integrate those models, coming up with a common modeling protocol, so that you can plug in different type of models, so the different models can actually talk with each other. And any producer, any farmer would then be able to replicate or to have a online version of their farm and basically use different models. So in this case, we have a common modeling protocol that allows different models to talk to each other. So if there's a beef farmer using in a grazing type of management, that farmer can use a model for grazing, such as grass growth. It can pull in the meteorological data for that specific location, and then we will have a ruminant model, a beef model. And if the farmer is interested more in pigs, then you can just take out the ruminant part and put it in a pig model, or if it's a dairy, then you take out the beef model and you put a dairy model. But the idea is that you all talk to each other. All of them will give you a response that can be used by the different type of the models as well. So in this case, if you look at the ruminant model, it will use the grass crop model to get some information, and then it will plug in into this model where we have different compartments looking at how much intake is based on the characteristics of the grass and what's happening in the rumen, in the lower gut, and then we'll be able to come up with estimates of the amount of urine and feces, and also the nutrient composition of urine and feces as well. If you look at the engine of the animal, which is the rumen, deeply, then you can look at, in this case, there'll be a lot of interactions going on, and we'll be able to estimate methane emissions from this part as well. And you can go down deeply into this. But the idea is that this is a platform for collaboration of different disciplines, people from animal science, particularly nutrition, microbiology, and genetics, and crop physiologists from soil science, and you can add an economic aspect to this model as well, so that the farmer can do a cost-benefit analysis. You can look into different climate scenarios. If there's a climate change in certain areas, how does it impact productivity and emissions as well? So this is a collaboration between the different type of fields. So we're trying to do this. The one that we just finished is looking into developing a model for sows and for growing pigs, and then integrating this with a manure and a soil process model. So you have the animal component, the manure component, the soil component. You put them together and try then to use this integrated model for assessment of mitigation options before you go into the field and do this. We've just just finished a similar thing, working with Claudia and on the AGGP project, coming up with mathematical models to, you know, to predict volume and composition of fresh manure, and then using that into the manure DNDC model so that we can have an integrated model that we can assess mitigation options in the future. So just to conclude, then the focus needs to be on the net reduction from the whole farm, and then we need to do a holistic integrated modeling approach, because this will help us in assessing mitigation options to come up with net reduction of carbon, nitrogen, or water footprints as well. So thank you very much. It depends. I mean, we come up with different type of models, but for the voluntary intake model, the more mechanistic model, you look at the rumen, the gut fill, how much the animal can actually. There's a physical limitation and there's a chemical limitation as well. So we'll take that into consideration for the mechanistic models. For more empirical models, it could be just an input into the model, or we're coming up with different models that use milk yield as a proxy for dry matter intake, because intake is difficult to measure, and on farm you don't really know. So but they know the milk production. So using the milk yield, then we use that as a proxy for intake. I think we are out of time, but
yeah. So thank you. Yep. So thanks again to all our speakers today.